Now it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now, here's Leslie.
Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you are an art maker, an art breaker, an art faker, or just an art partaker, welcome all, because all are welcome, of course, to Homegrown, a show about local art. I'm the one they call Clinton, and I am here with the mistress of magic who makes miracles happen, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Good morning, Clinton.
Good morning, Leslie.
It's wonderful to see you on this bright and cheery Sunday morning.
It is wonderful to be seen by you on this bright and cheery Sunday morning.
I'm just happy it's not raining. That's what it is. I'm so happy it's not raining.
Are we going to get on opposite sides of an issue right at the beginning of the show? It's not even a minute into the show, and are we going to find ourselves with differing opinions on something? I miss the rain.
I know.
It
you
was
like
cool.
Rainy days.
There wasn't all this harsh, evil sunlight out. There was this nice breeze. Nobody's getting melanoma around us. It's just, you know, the rain wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't too much rain. Just a little, like, mist throughout the day.
It's okay. I don't begrudge the fact that you like the rain. I kind of like sun, you know, because I like to do things outside.
You don't begrudge it?
No, I don't.
Do you judge it?
Not at all. There's no judgment here.
Do you give a fudge about it?
I give a fudge about you.
Thank you.
How about that?
You don't see it as a smudge on my character?
No, I don't. Okay. There are other things I see as a smudge on your character, but you know, we won't.
So many things.
But we won't go into that.
Good. You know, we should go into our parental advisory.
Yes, let's do that.
Yes, indeed. So, for all people out there who are parentals, we'll tell you that we might, at some point in the show, we'll try not to. Oh my goodness, we will try not to. But at some point in the show, we may use the word popularity. Popularity. So, if you've got young ones that you're trying to raise into the bloom of innocence and try to guide them on a path of spiritual self-sufficiency and enlightenment, you might want to keep them away from us talking about popularity.
Well, it's the bane of all of our existences, isn't it? You know,
it is.
You know, because you're fine in kindergarten and elementary school, right? Because everybody likes everybody. And then by the time you get to middle school, it's like cliques everywhere.
You obviously didn't go to my kindergarten because everybody didn't like everybody in my kindergarten.
Really? Just like,
yeah.
So you were the popular kid?
I was not the popular kid.
Oh.
In my kindergarten.
I'm sorry.
Let's just say popularity. If love of money is the root of all evil, I think popularity is probably like the leafy salad of all evil. little croutons on top of
little
it.
Little croutons on top. I don't like croutons, but sure, we can put croutons on the salad if you want.
Okay. Croutons on the salad of all evil.
Right. Yeah. Hey, why not? Okay, so we should get to our first guest.
Yes, we should. We are pleased to have with us members of the Charlottesville Musicians community joining us here, and one return guest. Woo, love return guests. Coming from the Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra, we have Executive Director Janet B. Kaltenbach. And Music Director Kate Tamarkin. Welcome to Homegrown.
Thanks very much for having us. Great to be here.
Thank you.
How are you doing this morning?
Well, a lot better since we've heard your spiel, Clinton.
Thank you, Kate. That's very nice of you. Thank you very much. So,
I'm going to do my impersonation of a crouton for you, but
that might affect your popularity.
She has an imitation of a crouton. That's awesome. I want to see.
No imitation croutons.
Okay.
Only straight croutons.
Organic.
Oh. Yeah, because this is Charlottesville. We really need organic croutons with no GMOs in the making of them. I think you can get those at Whole Foods. There's the whole crouton aisle there.
I'm sorry I said anything.
It's okay. So tell us about the Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra. Charlottesville has a symphony orchestra?
Yes, its full name is the Charlottesville Symphony at the University of Virginia, and it is an orchestra that is a hybrid. We call it the Prius of orchestras, and it is a combination of our professional faculty and gifted students and gifted community members, and together we make a great salad, Clinton.
And we've been making salads for 41 years.
41 years. That's impressive.
Well, and we give 5 pairs of concerts a year and a traditional holiday pops concert. We do youth concerts. We have quite a footprint in the community, but now we're about to expand our footprint and do a pops concert at the Paramount.
That's right. That's right. Pops at the Paramount. So what is the makeup of the upcoming concert? So first off, for people who maybe don't know, and I think I know because I've grown up hearing about symphony orchestras doing pops concerts. What does that actually mean, like a pops concert?
A pops concert is usually a concert which, instead of having 3 or 4 pieces, has many more pieces, and they're of a lighter nature, music that's more popular, that's more current. For example, we have music from Downton Abbey.
Music from Downton Abbey, really?
We do.
Awesome.
A beautiful suite from Downton Abbey. We're doing a Beatles medley. We're doing some, we're doing music from Star Wars, The Force Awakens, and a perennial favorite, George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, with a wonderful, wonderful soloist. His name is Jeremy Thompson, and he is a local rock star. He is the music director at the First Presbyterian Church on Park Street in Charlottesville, but he's much, much more than that. He has a national career as an organist, pianist, and conductor.
Wow.
He's actually working this morning while we're having fun with you on the air. He's over at First Presbyterian Church being the music director.
Ah, well, Jeremy, you got the short end of the stick. Which he's probably using to conduct. Actually, church directors don't really use batons, do they?
Not so much.
Not so much. I guess there is. Do you have a conductor for the Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra at the University of Virginia?
You are talking to her.
So do you use the baton?
Absolutely.
So we were just having a discussion about symphony conductors, because Leslie, you went to the Richmond Symphony recently, is that what?
Yes, a couple of weeks ago.
There you go. And so we were having this conversation about different conductor styles. Are you big and flamboyant? Are you reserved in your style? I love Kate. The radio audience can't see Kate demurely handed that question off to Janet.
She is what she needs to be, depending on the music and the circumstances and the group of musicians in front of her.
Wow.
I've seen her be all of the above, and it's always exciting to watch, which is one of the reasons why Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra audiences keep coming back again and again.
Cool.
Ask her more about batons, though. Many conductors have whole collections of batons, and I believe she does, too.
Really?
Well, when you think about that you move your arms for about 2 hours without ceasing, it behooves one to have a baton that feels just right and is very light. And I actually had some made specially. I call them geriatric batons because they're made from a very lightweight material that I think went to the moon with NASA at one point. But it can change the feel a lot. It's just like having an instrument that you like as well. The baton has a certain feel. And one gets used to that.
So it's kind of like, you know, in Harry Potter, when they go and the wand chooses the wizard. It's kind of like that. Do you have a special store that you go to and they, you know, big happenstance that happens, you know, fireworks and everything?
No, I had a special. I have them made specially by a certain gentleman. But I can tell you that we have a youth concert. May I talk about that?
Oh, sure.
And if it's for the area children, but we have lightsabers for that one.
Lightsabers? Really?
Not lifesavers. Lightsabers.
Oh, my God. Okay, but who gets to use the lightsabers?
Only the conductor. And in this case, for our youth concerts coming up next October, it actually flashes in different colors depending on what she wants it to do.
Oh, my God.
Maybe I'll use it for the Pops concert, too.
That's awesome.
I think that if you don't break that out for the Force, at least for the Force Awakens pieces, that would just be a missed opportunity.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. See, we come from a theater background. We're all about finding those ridiculously excessive moments of yes. completely gratuitous spectacle.
Yes. Well, and then I can just fly in on a wire, too.
There you go.
Ooh, can we do that? That'd be great. You know, maybe, do you need a cape?
We have a cape, too.
How does
the radio audience know that we don't do that every week? We do wire work in the show every week. You guys can't see it, but it's just a.
Clinton doesn't want you to see it. We've been asked to like go live on Facebook, but Clinton doesn't want anyone to see.
It's just about the mystery.
It's just for our guests.
It's about
is what
keeping
he's,
the mystery,
right?
That's what it is.
Folks, you don't want to see this.
See, Kate understands. Kate gets me. So, what do you think, if I may ask, what do you think about this distinction between pops and classical, between popular music and classical music? Because if Tchaikovsky, so, I mean, what's the difference between Tchaikovsky writing a score to go behind a ballet and John Williams writing a soundtrack to go behind a movie?
I would say there's not much difference. But your first question about popular versus classical, the idea of popular music being different than serious or classical music is a 20th century construct. It wasn't there before. If you look to the 19th century and you look at concert programs, there was a wonderful combination of not just different pieces, but sometimes movements of pieces, like the best movement of a symphony might be put in there. The overture didn't always start a concert. Sometimes it would close a concert. So it's more a recent, and when you're a classical musician, 120 years is recent.
Yeah, right.
That we have this music that's for the pop, the popular versus the serious or the classical. And I find it unfortunate because, frankly, a good melody is beautiful no matter where it comes from, and beautiful music behind a film score is just as beautiful as a serious symphony.
And I think many people would find that classical music infuses our lives more than they ever realize. Let me ask you a question. Would the FCC raise an alarm if I mentioned specific companies, corporations, manufacturers who have used classical music in, for instance, radio and television commercials? Or can I
don't think they would. I think we can roll those dice.
Great. I made some notes today, and I think people will recognize some of this. For instance, one of the big pieces on our Pops at the Paramount concert is George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue.
That's the
one that features Jeremy Thompson, a favorite of many people. And if they think about it, Rhapsody in Blue has been the signature song of United Airlines for almost 30 years.
Oh.
There is a company that many people will know, Old Spice, who has used the opening from Carmina Burana, Carl Orff's huge big body choral work called O Fortuna. That's the opening that has been used on Old Spice commercials many times. Black and Decker has also featured Rimsky-Korsakov, a Russian composer's Flight of the Bumblebee. There are all kinds of excerpts from ballet and symphonies and operas that show up as the soundtracks for commercials that help sell products, and yet they come from the classical realm.
Oh, Fortuna, is that the part with that big crashing,
big
crashing
Boom.
Chorus? Like,
oh,
da, 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 da. Yeah.
That's
so
the one.
Many people love that piece.
Yes, and Beethoven.
We'll do a rendition right now.
Bum.
Oh,
Fortuna. get the point.
I do. I do. For tuna
I don't,
and
I don't
not
know
for
that
salmon,
we've just
by
sold
the way.
Any aftershave for Old Spice, though.
We should do a drop.
Hi, this is Charlie Pasterfield,
Susan Munson,
and Stuart Holm
from Mama Tried.
And you're listening to
Homegrown Radio on 94.7. The first thing.
15 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown, a show about local art. If you are just joining us, we are in a conversation with Janet B. Kaltenbach and Kate Tamarkin from the Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra at the University of Virginia. Stay tuned, of course, after our show for Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. Back to our guest, though, where we get to there. So, tell us about the division between faculty and students and towns member in the symphony.
You mean the numbers?
Yeah, there you go. Look at you with fancy words like numbers.
Our section leaders are known in our field as principals, principal players or principal musicians. We have 16 of those, most of whom are music faculty members at the University of Virginia, although our principal tuba commutes from the Washington, D.C. area almost every Wednesday night.
Wow, all the way from D.C.?
Yes.
And so they play in D.C. and here?
He plays all over, up and down the Eastern Seaboard, but he's based in Georgetown. Great tuba players are not all that common, so
no,
we're lucky that he loves this orchestra and loves working with Kate and his fellow colleagues to make that drive every week for the better part of the academic year.
And, you know, the tuba is an overlooked instrument.
The tuba is hot.
Yeah, it really is.
It has the widest range of almost any wind instrument.
Yeah, and I mean, it's...
Get out. Really?
Yes. It's a beautiful instrument. And when you have somebody who really knows how to play it, I mean, it can be... It's amazing.
And nice people play the tuba. You see, different personalities are drawn to different instruments.
I've
but
noticed
that's
that.
That's another discussion.
Then we have... Oh, the total roster changes from year to year because everyone except our principal musicians has to re-audition every August. But we always have between 15 and 20 community members who volunteer their time. They have come from other orchestras or other parts of the country. They have found themselves in Charlottesville for a variety of reasons as teachers and performers. And again, they want to keep their chops up and play great music. So they've been loyal members of the Charlottesville Symphony for a long time. And then we have many, many UVA students, and I will let Kate talk about that since she's also a full-time professor at UVA.
Woo! Oh, my.
So be nice. The student members are a very interesting part of our orchestra. Some of them are music majors, and many of them are very diverse majors, such as Russian, psychology, biochemistry, econ. And they are amazingly talented. Many of them come from their youth orchestras in different parts of the state and beyond. And together, we make a joyful noise.
That's wonderful. So is that something that is specifically germane to community symphonies that people rotate in and out and that students are part of it all the time? Or is that something that you guys have instituted?
I believe ours is one of the only orchestras in this country that has this particular makeup, because community orchestras may just be community members, whereas we have these professional principal players. And the professional principal players function as like a teaching hospital, which is next door at UVA. We have a teaching orchestra. So throughout the rehearsal process, the principal's job is to teach these students how to be effective members of a symphony. And it's very subtle, and they're wonderful examples, and they play their solos just beautifully.
I was wondering about that. I'm so glad that you spoke about that. Is the, because I wonder if you could talk more about the benefits all around from having professional players interact with community members and students being able to interact with community members and professional players, and community members being able to interact with students and professional players.
Well, it's as if you have a wonderful backbone to the organization, because there's nothing like the power of concentration and the power of commitment that a skilled professional player can bring. And so it just brings everyone around them up much closer to their level. And I'm always amazed and gratified by how beautiful the product is by concert time.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Clinton and I have both done this in our theater work. When we put a cast together, we make sure that we have people that are seasoned, that have done professional work, that, you know, that have that work ethic. And then we also like to put in, you know, up-and-comers, new people, people who may have never been on stage before. And it gives the new people excitement about what they're doing, because they're doing it with people who are so skilled. And it gives the old timers some, you know, some more juice, because it's like, oh, I get to, you know, mentor this young person who's absolutely great, and I get to have a hand in that.
And also, what the young people bring to it is, it may have been decades since a professional first played this piece, but to be sitting next to someone for whom it is the first time they are playing the piece does bring that very added energy that you just spoke about.
Yeah, yeah.
Our community members tell us that they get a great sense of energy from playing next to students, and it also teaches students a great work ethic to be rehearsing, to learning music, from woodshedding notes at the very first rehearsal all the way through to performance next to these really great players.
And I imagine that that's an important lesson, because, again, I imagine this is something that we see in the theater world that you guys also see, that is an important lesson for young players and other players, to see that work ethic, to see exactly how much work and how much dedication and how much focus and time it takes to get a performance out.
And also, in this society, which is so geared into instant gratification, the answer to the question is that it takes as much time and devotion as the music requires, period, end of sentence. It's not about how we feel. I mean, ultimately, we have to have feeling when we perform, but it's about what these masterpieces demand, demand of us. And it is its own discipline. And for some musicians, since this is Sunday morning, it is akin to their own religion.
Yeah. Yes, it is. I when I went to the symphony a few weeks ago, it was because a friend of mine, we met at VCU. He was a voice major and I was a theater major, and he was singing with the symphony. And it was really interesting, because the conductor, whenever the symphony had a part, and the first couple of times he did it, I didn't even notice what he was doing. But when he cued the chorus to stand up behind the symphony, 147 people just stood up all at once. And it was like, oh, okay, I'm going to hear voices now. This is cool. You know? And we went to dinner afterwards, and he was talking about the rehearsal process, and because the piece they were doing was ballet music, there were no words for the chorus to sing. It was just oohs and ahs. And
Ravel?
No, Chloe at...
Daphnis and Chloe.
Daphnis and Chloe.
Which we performed last November.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's a beautiful piece. Beautiful piece. And so we were talking about it, and he actually brought his music, because I had a question about the flute solo in that. And he goes, oh, yeah, we all clapped during rehearsal for her after that. Because the flute solo is literally 200 measures long.
Very long.
But, yeah, he was saying that the rehearsal process was really draining. And you know, he's been singing with the symphony for a long time. And whenever they do stuff combined, it ratchets everything up a level, because the players are so committed and they will rehearse as long as it takes to get it right. And it was just, it was a beautiful, beautiful night of music. So
I'm so glad.
Yeah, we had a great time.
And even though it's hard work, it's fun because I'm always backstage to watch musicians and Kate come off the stage just beaming, realizing finally what all the hard work has led them to be able to accomplish. It's incredible.
Great, great. Well, thank you so much for coming on our show and talking to us. Could you tell the radio audience where they can hear the hard work coming up, the where and the when?
Pops at the Paramount next Saturday night, June 4th, 7:30 p.m. at the Paramount Theater on Charlottesville's downtown mall. The box office is open from 10 to 2 on Monday through Friday, and that number is 434-979-1333 or online www.theparamount.net.
There you go. Check them out. You'll be rhapsodic and not blue, and maybe even your force will awaken. Janet, Kate, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, 26 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art, and we should talk about some more artistic things that will appear in this town coming up. Today's the last day, your last chance to see paintings by Cynthia Burke at the McGuffey Art Center. Raptors. Raptors by Cynthia Burke. Go check it out, or else you won't be able to. Currently running from now until June 7th, the Charlottesville Writer House's annual fiction writing contest. Yeah! 3,000 words maximum, stories with a beginning, a middle, and an end for writers 18 and above. The entries will be judged by Ann Beattie. That's right, that Ann Beattie. For full information, check out writerhouse.org. Also currently running from now until June 12th, American Shakespeare Center's spring season. You just have a couple weeks left to catch Shaw's Arms and the Man, Oscar Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest, and Shakespeare's Julius Caesar and the Life of King Henry V. Currently running from now until August 21st, Yemaduwara, Artist of the River at the Klugiru Aboriginal Art Collection. If you don't know what this is about, you should go to SeavillePodcast.com and listen to last week's Homegrown episode.
That's right, because he was here.
Because we talked to Henry Scarrett, the curator of that, and he told us the dealie. He gave us the lowdown. Check it out, and then check out the exhibit itself, or do them in any order you want. We're not going to judge. We're not going to judge. We don't give a fudge. And on that, we won't budge. Currently running from now till June 1st, Noises Off at Oak Grove Theater at Verona, Virginia. And today, the Virginia Film Festival and Parade Rest present 12 o'clock high at the Paramount Theater as part of the city's 5th Annual Memorial Sunday Tributes, 2:30 p.m., followed by a panel of decorated pilots. Free, the movie and the panel afterwards is free for active duty soldiers, reservists, National Guard members, veterans, and their families. June 3rd, First Fridays, catch openings at your local gallery. And also June 3rd, Virginia Film Festival's Moonlight Movies continues. Free movies in the summer, free outdoor movies in the summer. The Lego Movie shows at Carter Mountain Orchard. It's free and open to the public. Space opens at 7 p.m. for picnicking and such. And the movie starts around 8:30 when the sun is down. Bring blankets and chairs. And in terms of music going on, today, Jason Burke, our man, at First Colony Winery at 2 p.m. Tomorrow, ATM Unit at Rapture. June 1st, Red of the Romantics at Star Hill Brewery and Tap Room. Also, David Tewksbury at the Bebedero.
He was here, too. See, if y'all listen to the show, y'all know what's going on.
Go on, David. Go on, David. June 2nd, local looper Kevin Torpy at Blue Moon Diner. Also, Haku, Malk, and Meds at the Anteroom for your little hip-hop magic there. Also, June 2nd, the Michael Ellswick Gathering at Fellini's. June 3rd, the Randy Johnson Johnston Trio at the Bebedero. DJ Edit at Rapture. The John Spear Band at the Whiskey Jar. And June 4th, it's the Sally Rose Band at Keswick Vineyards. Jim Wave at Albemarle Cider Works. John Dirth at Fellini's. And the Bobby Midnight Band, an offshoot of Trees on Fire at the Bebedero. And coming up later, June 12th, jazz vocalist Veronica Swift at the Carrington Place Community Hall, just off Rye Road. Don't want to miss that one. And of course, every Monday, it's the singer-songwriter night at the local. Every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, the open mic night at the Pro Renata Farm Brewery, plus Bob Benetta at Cafe Katura and the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. And don't forget, on Wednesday, Jim Wave at the Blue Moon Diner. Every Thursday, it's the Woolen Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And if that's too much for you, why don't you wander on down to the downtown and go to Miller's for the John Dearth Quintet, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. And that's just some of the wonderful artistic events in our wonderful artistic town and general artistic area. If you are an artist and have an event that you'd like us to know about so we can let other people know about, let us know about it. Contact us at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc, or you can email it to us at our handy-dandy email address, homegrown947@gmail.com.
Hello, this is Brian Weimer of the Ix Art Park, and you're listening to Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC.
31 minutes past the hour. You're here with Homegrown, a show about local art, and we're cruising over to our next guest, coming all the way up from the deep south. I think that's what we're calling Scottsville these days.
The deep south?
We're not. We're so not calling Scottsville the deep south.
No, it's not. I have family in Scottsville.
You do?
I do. That's where my mother's side of the family hails from.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Scottsville and Louisa. That's where I'm from.
There you go.
And there's a lot of us. So pretty much if you're in or around Charlottesville, you either are family or know my family.
All right. So, going on to our next guest, who knows, might be one of Leslie's family members. From SCAN, the Scottsville Center for Arts and Nature, Kristen Freshwater. Hello, Kristen.
Hello, Clinton. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
It's nice to see you. Thank you for coming on our show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Full disclosure, Kristen and I know each other. We've known each other for, we go way back. Way back.
Probably, well, it'd be like
more years than we care to count.
Yeah, probably. I was going to say it's probably been about 12 years or so.
And it's been fun watching you go from thing to thing to thing. And now the latest incarnation of Kristen Freshwater is involved with SCAN. Tell us about SCAN. What is SCAN?
What is SCAN? It's a good question. So we're Scottsville Center for Arts and Nature, which is a very broad spectrum. We focus on classes, events, programming for all ages that in music, in visual art, theater, design, and also, of course, nature. SCAN has an interesting history in mainly...
Yeah, how long has it been going on?
It's been going on officially for about 11 years. But it all stems from one amazing lady, Mary Hardy Roberts, who many people in the Scottsville area called the Music Lady or the Pied Piper. She taught classes in violin and cello and had an amazing amount of students in the Scottsville area in the mid to late 90s. She sadly passed away just 2 years ago, but her legacy lives on through SCAN. And so right now we are a nonprofit run by a board. I'm currently on the board, and we're just trying to get it really going at this point. For so long, Mary had done everything herself, and SCAN was born out of her work and her legacy. And now we're at a point where we're just taking over from that and creating a new energy around the arts and around nature programs in Scottsville.
Right, that makes sense, because it seems like, tell me if this is accurate, because it seems like there's this new energy. It feels like a next incarnation of SCAN.
It is, and a lot of people that have gotten involved were past students of of Mary's when they were kids, and also a lot of new folks that have moved to the area that are interested or have gifts in one aspect of the arts or another have gotten involved, and it's just become this new sort of powerful force and this energy of interest and of action. So it's been exciting to see everybody coming together and creating something new out of something that's been established for a while.
It's fascinating for me because it seems to be, from what I understand, both an arts education organization, but also an arts performance organization, because it does have performance aspects to it, right?
It does.
Like the Victory Hall Theater.
Like the Victory Hall Theater. So SCAN is housed in the Victory Hall Theater, which the theater itself has had a long history in Scottsville of performance.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was built in 1918, right after the close of World War I, as a theater space for live theater.
Oh, wow. So it's the Victory Hall Theater in Scottsville is legitimately one of those theaters.
It's one of those theaters. It's sadly not quite, unless there was a major overhaul renovation over the years because of the flooding in Scottsville, changes in interest. In the 60s, it was completely gutted because of water damage and turned into a municipal building, and the town offices are upstairs. But now SCAN is housed downstairs, and we've turned it back into a theater space. But it's a really, really great theater space, kind of more of a sort of experimental theater space, almost like a small proscenium, like a small black box feeling proscenium. It's kind of neat in that way. And so we're able to do, because of that, we're able to do music shows, but also live theater very successfully.
So what kind of shows do you do? I mean, what, since it's been refurbished and you have a new space now,
right?
What exactly are you doing in there, and what are you looking to do in there?
Well, you just did Our Town, right?
We did. So one of the things that we have, live music shows, we're trying to get more of that going, local artists coming in, but also regional artists to just do live music. In September, we had the band Van Devere come and do a great show in the space. And Victory Hall Players, which is an in-house educational community theater program that I'm artistic director of. We just got that going. The first show was Our Town, as you mentioned, Clinton. We just closed that at the end of April, which was wildly successful. So much fun. I was working with tech folks and actors from all over. We had folks, because Scottsville is kind of a tri-county area, and I was able to, folks came in and auditioned from all over the place, Yogaville, from Schuyler, from Charlottesville. So I was able to get a really amazing pool of actors, and then also some local folks who live right in Scottsville. So that's the first show of many to come. Because it's a fledgling program, we're going to slowly build it up. So probably 1 to 2 shows a year, spring and fall, and then maybe starting next summer, something that is a children's performance that's done by children. But it's a way, the whole approach with that particular program is education. So putting on a show, but doing it in a way with people within the community so that they're learning something as they're going through the process, which is so much fun to see people grow as you move forward in the production process.
So how do you structure it? Because that's the kind of theater program that I grew up with. So how do you structure it? Do you get certain people? Do you designate certain people to be the mentors and then designate mentees, or is it more fluid? Like how do you do it?
It's a little more fluid because I had folks involved in all aspects with different levels of experience. It was kind of interesting to see how it sort of just naturally patterned itself. But getting folks that were more experienced in for the actual directing and for the technical portion, those were the kind of leaders to be able to direct what was happening with the actors, the folks that were doing the stage management, light and soundboard operation. You know, a lot of them had never done anything like that before, so they were learning as they went. And so the next time we do a show, they'll have that experience under their belt and be ready to go and maybe teach somebody coming in that's sort of a helper and an assistant that's never done it before. And it just keeps going like that. Great. Show after show.
So do you have a show planned for the fall?
We don't have one planned for the fall. I think because of the amount of things we have planned, in the fall in general in town and everything, we have, this is kind of crazy. I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but we do what's called Harry Potter Halloween.
I don't think we have heard of this.
Have you heard of this? No. Okay.
I think we need to hear about this, though.
So it's a town-wide event that
it's a town-wide event?
It is a town-wide event.
The number of things going on in Scottsville that we need to know about.
That SCAN is a huge part of, but also all the other businesses in town. And we basically transform the town of Scottsville into the town of Hogsmeade.
I'm done.
So, oh my God, I still want to go to that.
Last year, it was absolutely insane. Last year was our second year of doing it. The first year, you know, slow to start, good turnout. Halloween is usually crazy in Scottsville anyway, because it's the perfect spot for kids to trick or treat.
Yes, it is.
So we sort of groups of businesses capitalized on that. And just went with a whole Harry Potter theme, and it was insane. Last year we had probably somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 people come into town for this event.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So, and there's lots of fun things, like each business, depending on what Hogsmeade business they take on, goes like, you know, full on, you know, takes on the facade, you know, has a sign up as the, you know, that they're the Hogshead or Honey Dukes or whatever it is. But it's pretty crazy. This particular last Halloween fell on a Saturday. So this year we're holding Harry Potter Halloween in Scottsville the Saturday before Halloween, which is the 29th of October.
Because you gotta.
And that is like a production unto itself. It's staged in a way. So many people that are involved with SCAN and are on the board and stuff are involved in this particular event. So that's kind of like our fall show, except it's out and about in the community. So our next show is probably going to be, our for Victory Hellblazers, is going to be in the spring. So as we get more information about that, I can let you guys know. And people can always check our website about notices for auditions at scanartcenter.org.
There you go. So. But don't you have drama camp coming up?
We do have drama camp coming up. So we've got camps and classes this summer. So drama camp is with John M., who is a local Charlottesville actor and instructor. He will be doing camp from June 13th to June 17th. It's pretty much an all-day camp, so parents can drop their kids off at 9 a.m. and not have to pick them up until 3 p.m. So it's a great way for, you know, the little ones to get some fun instruction. It's for ages 8 and up.
Oh, so 8 through 18?
8 through 18.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so they'll be learning a little bit of everything. He's experienced in TV acting as well, so they'll learn, you know, some TV acting, but also projection and stuff if they're doing stage acting. So it's kind of like an intense course on just acting itself. Yeah, so it runs Monday through Friday.
And are there plans to extend that to the technical side of theater and getting people?
There are future plans for that, and I'm hoping that by next summer we can have something that's on the technical side of theater. Maybe some set design, since that's what my background is in. And maybe some lighting and sound design too might be fun. So
howdy, y'all. This is Zap McConnell from Chicken Bank Collective, and I am with Homegrown.
44 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And as Zap told you, this is Homegrown, show about local art. We're here, if you're just tuning in, with Kristen Freshwater from SCAN, the Scottsville Center for Arts and Nature, talking about that very thing. So talk about the nature part.
Yes, the nature part. The nature part
like,
is...
I was reading about SCAN. It's like Scottsville Center for Art. Because I must admit, I saw SCAN, a really nice acronym. Very appealing.
It is.
Very short. It just hits you.
SCAN.
And I was trying to... I gave myself a little challenge. I said, can I figure out what this acronym is? And I'm like, okay, Scottsville, obviously. It's like, Scottsville... Council, maybe. Scott, I kicked myself that I didn't get center, but I'm like, council, it's something like that. Arts, certainly. And then I just blew it on N.
Yeah. The N. The N sort of, because the organization, you know, started with Mary's music teaching, it was very much all about art, particularly music. And then it morphed into being something more all-encompassing of every art, you know, within the community. The nature part came in when there was a 13-acre piece of property donated to SCAN for a future facility, so that SCAN would have more room for classes, for events and things of that nature, rather than, because already, even with the limited amount of events and programs and classes we have, we're running quickly out of space in Victory Hall because of its size.
Oh, yeah, I imagine so.
Yes. So this piece of property, there are plans drawn, future plans for a actual center. The only request of the person who donated the property was that it very much, it had been a farm when he was a child, that it stay very much very natural and sort of the way that it was. So the whole plan for this facility that is to be out there is going to be very much integrated into the natural world. And because of that, the nature piece sort of just came in. So because we're right on the James River as well, getting involved with different programs that JRAC does for river cleanup and things like that. We also just on that piece of property are making plans to kind of clean it up a little bit and have maybe some live theater out there, live music out there. But also
Shakespeare outdoors.
Shakespeare outdoors,
please.
Baby, yeah.
Please. Can we do Shakespeare outdoors?
Greek drama outdoors.
Clinton, let's do Shakespeare outdoors.
It did not take you very long to go there, did it?
No, it didn't at all.
It so didn't take you very long.
It didn't take me not 2 seconds.
I could see you make that leap.
Shakespeare outside. Yeah.
Yes.
Greek theater outdoors.
Oh my God. But can we please do Aeschylus? Oh my God, please. Clinton, so many ideas in my head right now.
So there you go. The nature piece is kind of like a mix of arts and nature, doing environmental theater, doing environmental music, but also we just a local business that we have in town, Scottsville Supply Company. They're a beekeeping supply group, and so they have beekeeping supplies, but also bring in bees for anybody who wants to start hives. And we now have SCAN Art Center hives on our property, so we're able to
get out.
Yeah. So
can we buy your honey?
Yeah, that's another thing too.
That's so great.
So the bees are out there on the property, but we're learning. Different board members are learning how to take care of the hive. But eventually, hopefully, we're going to have classes out there on beekeeping, how to take care of a hive to generate interest in that type of thing too. So we're kind of finding ways now to integrate the property and also bring that in, that nature part of SCAN, into our mission.
So if you don't know, Clinton suffers from allergies every spring and it gets really bad.
Yeah.
And I feel really bad for him when he, you know, he's like hacking stuff up.
Yes.
And I keep telling him, if you eat local honey,
it's true,
your allergies will lessen because it's made from the things that you're allergic to. So
yes,
you're basically building up a resistance to it.
I believe you. It's just that I've told you before, I don't have much of a sweet tooth. I can't imagine what I would eat honey on. I mean, I'd have to make an effort to.
I tell you what, I will make you a deal. I will make you some of my great-grandmother's homemade potato bread for you to put local honey on. How about that? Is that a deal? Can we do that?
So many people that are like eating the local honey specifically for allergies will just take a whole like teaspoonful and just every morning eat it. Just eat
Oh my goodness.
He can't do that. He just can't. Because he really doesn't have a sweet tooth at all. At all.
Yeah. So we're. So we're finding ways to bring the whole nature part in. And I couldn't help but overhearing a little bit of the orchestra folks talking about their shows coming up. And they're talking about the music of The Force Awakens. But we have it's a SCAN sponsored event, and two other local businesses in Scottsville are sponsoring an event coming up this coming Saturday, June the 4th, called Scottsville Awakens. And it's kind of a celebration of all things Star Wars.
Very cool.
So in that sense, we're celebrating, you know, we're celebrating the music, the whole art of costuming, little bit of everything. We're showing The Force Awakens actually at Victory Hall Theater that night at 7 p.m.
Nice.
So
I'm loving this. I am so loving this. Because for the people, because this to me is art,
yeah.
Right? This is so much about what art does and how art gets into our lives. So for the people who, talked about what would say about Star Wars, like,
right.
It's just this goofy movie. Why are people making such a fuss about it? Yes, you are right. It is just a goofy movie.
Right.
But at the same time, the role of these, the way these things work is it's not just about the goofy movie. It's about the people who like it and who are inspired by it and who gather around it, the communities that develop about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how it seeps into our lives and becomes part of our culture and part of our exchange, that we've got a symphony orchestra doing pieces from them, and you've got you guys doing your event.
Yeah.
You know, and isn't that what art does?
It does. It brings people together. And a lot of times with films like Star Wars and or talking about Harry Potter, there's definitely a cult following around those things, those films, those books. But there's a reason for it, because there's so much amazing talent and art that goes into those things, all different aspects when it comes to the visual part, the music, just the story itself, the script writing, all of that's art. And it gets people excited, and having events surrounding those things that are already very much a part of our culture, just brings people together in such a fun way and makes them recognize the fact that it's art as well.
Anything that will get a kid to put down the Xbox,
yes.
I am all in favor for.
That's
please
also true.
Put down the Xbox and pick up a lightsaber. Let's go.
All right, kid, put down the Xbox. Step away from the controller.
Yes, exactly. I want a police force that will do that. Can we please?
Kristen, thank you so much for coming on our show.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
I hope that you will come back again, because we are really curious to see what happens in this new incarnation of SCAN.
Yes.
And we wish you all the luck. It sounds really exciting.
It's really exciting. It's really, really fun. It's a lot of old, and you know, with the community and how it grew out of the community, but a lot of new energy, new excitement. So I'm excited to see where it goes to.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. 53 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art. And if you're just joining us, boy, did you miss a great show. But we still have maybe the greatest thing coming up. Stay tuned afterwards, of course, for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your man, Rick Moore, talking to the great, great people from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library.
Woohoo!
Talking about their summer reading. But before we get to that, it's the part you've all been waiting for, Leslie's weekly rant. coming up as soon as Leslie hits the right button on the board here, which means that I will take a moment to stall and say, how are you guys doing out there? You doing well? You should let us know. You should contact, talk about on our Facebook page. You know, you can comment on our shows. You can tell us how much you enjoy Leslie's weekly rant. I know that you do. You can tell us how much you want Leslie to speak more on the show. I know that you do. Go to our Facebook page and tell us at www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc. Let us know what your art show should be like. Rant away, Les!
Sorry about that. Technical difficulties. We need a producer. We need a producer. What energetic, wonderful teenager would like to have a summer internship? We need a producer. Okay. Anyway, being an artist is hard. It's hard to conceive of something. It's hard to bring it to life. It's increasingly hard to get other people to come see it, let alone pay for it. It's just hard. Artists talk about it all the time when we're alone. We talk about how something is so good. We lament that more people don't come see things when they are painstakingly or even haphazardly put together. And we get it. We get that everyone is busy. We all have those things in our lives that we must do. Things that keep food on the table. Things that are our responsibility, like family. We have those things too. And we balance them, sometimes a little worse than we should, but we try to keep a balance between life responsibilities and art ones. And then comes that moment when we realize we've gone a little too far. We realize we have committed to too many things in too short a space of time. And we start thinking about what can be let go of. What obligation do we have to give up in order to meet all the others? And it's always a hard decision. No one wants to let anyone down. No one wants to be that unprofessional person who can't do what we said we were going to do. But often, as artists, our word is all we have. That's what makes people want to work with us. The fact that someone knows if we're given a task, we can and will, come hell or high water, complete it to the best of our ability. That's all we have. So today, I need to talk to all of you artists about being sure you can complete something before you start it. Before you commit to something, be sure you can make it happen. Don't overextend yourself. Don't make a promise that you can't keep. Make your word much like the word bond of a Bene Gesserit. Make it absolute. Make it so unbreakable and so powerful that no matter what else happens, you can keep your word. Now, of course, we can't control what others do. We can't always control what happens to us either. But if we're going to ask people to pay to see and experience the art we create, then we have to be serious about making it. We have to be serious about making it happen. And when we say we're going to do it, we have to keep our word. And that's the weekly rant.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. See, you're really good at this. You guys don't know. I have asked Clinton to be involved in so many things over the years, and he is really good about saying, you know what? I've got 7 other things going on. There's absolutely no way that I can do it. I would love to do it, but I can't. And yes, that's a letdown, but I appreciate the honesty. Like, I appreciate you saying, I don't think I have the time that I need to have in order to do that well. Like, that's, I can respect that, you know, but don't say yes and then, you know, halfway through the process flake out. Like, that's not okay.
I get that. I'm just surprised to hear you ranting negatively about something hard.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I'm out.
I just...
Done.
Okay.
Done.
Y'all love when he works blue, don't you? Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay, all right. Well, we want to thank our guests, Kristen Freshwater from SCAN, the Scottsville Center for Arts and Nature. Check out their drama camp, June 13th through 17th. That sounds like a load of fun. And I know Clinton and I are planning on going to that Harry Potter Halloween, man. That sounds great. And we want to thank Janet B. Kaltenbach and Kate Tamarkin from the Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra. Check out their concert, Pops at the Paramount, on June 4th. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call with Rick Moore talking about the Jefferson Madison Regional Library Summer Reading Program. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.